Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hour number two. Take two. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Hope everybody's having a good Tuesday. Our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD, products curated for life. David Poyle coming up in about 10 minutes. We've got a lot to get into. By the way, we'll head east. This will be for JP, who just joined us in studio. We'll have Vince Ferrara coming up at noon. We'll talk a little bit about the Vols, who were off. Normally, he joins us yesterday, but with all the news about Derrick Henry, it was kind of a sad day.
Tough.
I don't know if we feel any better today than yesterday.
The way I look at it is it's obviously the worst news, and I did. I went on in Kansas City. They were asking me about it. Did a couple things with Fox 17. And it's like, listen, it's the worst news you could possibly get, but they have 9 games left. They got to keep playing. They're 6-2. They're atop the AFC, and so you can sit there and, you know, pout and be, you know, upset about it, or you can keep going. I mean, the team's going to keep going, and that's what Mike Vrabel said several times in his press conference yesterday, of Derek's going to have surgery, which this morning, and we have to move on. And that's, you know, that's kind of a blunt way to put it, but it's the only way. If you're the team, they're bringing in Adrian Peterson. Granted, not the same Adrian Peterson, but of all the possibilities that were out there, and I'm going to be honest, I like it. I think locker room, some ability, going by committee, whatever you want to do, but he was the Derrick Henry type before there was Derrick Henry. He has played in this league for a very long time, so it can't hurt. But now you have to just figure out how it's, you know, I used the Braves example yesterday when Acuna went down. You have to figure out just how good you can be as a team at this point.
Yeah.
And we're about to find out.
We are indeed about to find out. All right, let's do this. Let's surprise everybody. Told you sometimes.
I like surprises sometimes.
You get paid to listen. You get rewarded. Actually, rewarded's a better word. For listening. Not prompted and told when to listen, but just for listening. So if you listened last hour and you heard J.P. Arencibia talking with us about the World Series and talking baseball with us, you would know what position that he played. Now, he did talk about his few experiences at first base, but that's not the answer we're looking for. His main position, which was a great story. If you were listening, you know what position he played. If you can call up our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025 and tell Elijah what position did J.P. Arencibia play, you can win a pair of tickets before you can even buy them, for Dierks Bentley at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, February 25th. Hello. Friday, February 25th. By the way, that's the day before the stadium series at Nissan Stadium, Predators Lightning. I mean, you're talking about a good 48 hours. How about Dierks Bentley at Bridgestone and stadium series at Nissan? It'll be a good 2 days. But tell Elijah what position. Looks like we have a winner. That didn't take long.
Did not.
No.
It's good.
So there you go.
It'll be a good show. It I love it when you do this. People will text in even though you're telling them to call in.
It's all right. Just means they're listening, so that's okay.
It's what we like.
So they are going to have to figure it out. We're going to have our rankings again in a couple of days, and we talked about this in the first segment. What does this injury mean for the Titans? And, you know, the Derrick Henry news, what does this mean for them? Because the two of us had the Titans as the best team in the AFC before the Colts game. They win that game on the road. Well, you know we would have them number one in the AFC again this week in our rankings, but now there's this huge news that they've just lost their star player. Well, I think we would be crazy to think like, well, they're still 6-2. Yeah, but we can't sit there and beat the MVP drum.
Right.
NFL MVP and say he is one of the best players in the league and then take him out of the equation and say, well, they're not going to miss a beat. They're fine. Like, that's, would we feel the same way if Josh Allen was out for the Bills? No. Would we feel the same way if Lamar Jackson was out for the Ravens?
No.
We would say, oh, they're done. Right? That's what we would say. I would say in other markets, people are going, oh, the Titans, they're done.
Yeah. But I guess the consolation is, you know, at least the Titans still have, you know, a capable starter in Tannehill. Now it's what can he do? This is going to answer a ton of questions about Ryan Tannehill, because everybody that, you know, hasn't been a believer and has been saying, well, it's because, you know, he has 22 behind him, so that's why he's had the success that he's had in Tennessee. Well, we're about to answer that question because he doesn't have that anymore. And I think everybody hoped it would never happen, but you always had that in the back of your mind. Well, what if it does? Well, here you go. So what's he going to do with it?
Here's the question I have. Is Adrian Peterson going to suit up Sunday night in L.A. against the Rams?
I don't.
Or do you think they're? Do we think they're going to roll with Mekhi Sargent and Jeremy McNichols against the Rams?
I don't know.
On Sunday Night Football? I mean, in fairness, I don't want this to diminish the position, but it is an easier position to work somebody in quicker than a wide receiver or a quarterback or other positions, right?
Right.
The running back is an easier position to work somebody in on a much faster pace than, let's say, other positions. So I do think there's a real shot, right? I guess. I mean, the other part is we don't know what – I mean, he's going to be in shape.
I mean, yeah, I don't think they sign him if he's not.
I don't need to know that. But is he in game shape? He may be in shape, but is he in game shape?
Have they haven't officially announced the signing yet, have they? I haven't seen anything.
Not official from the Titans?
Yeah.
No.
And the report yesterday from Ian Rappaport was he was going to go to the practice squad and then they would elevate him. Besides the running backs that they have you know, on the roster available to them, you mentioned Sargent. Dontrell Hilliard is also a practice squad running back. So if they don't feel like – because McNichols is the only one on the active roster. So obviously they're going to be, you know, adding Mekhi Sargent. So if they don't feel like that Peterson, I think that's why they're going this route. If they don't feel like he's ready for Sunday night, they could put Hilliard up, give Peterson another week, and then bring him on the active roster. But I think if by Friday, if Rabel's like, okay, he looks good enough, gets him on.
They're rolling with him.
They're going with it.
Congratulations, Scott Ewing. Scott Ewing called up our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and told you what, Elijah? What position?
That JP was a catcher.
And that would be correct.
Ding, ding, ding. One for one.
So that was the first call, right?
First call. Wow. Yeah, I locked those lines up pretty
quick. Nicely done, Scott. Go enjoy Dierks Bentley on that Friday night. Chase, good. Why don't you tell everybody about BetMGM, and then we'll come back with David Poyle.
Yes, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, welcomes you to Showtime with a special offer for the World Series. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game. If either team hits a home run during that game, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. You can enjoy the World Series like never before with BetMGM's live betting options and boosted odds specials at your fingertips for every game. Just download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME200 to win $200 in free bets if a home run is hit in the World Series game you wager on. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bet or site credit. Free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Tuesday. We'll keep this thing rolling right down the tracks. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe with you. The Predators are up in Calgary to take on the Flames tonight. The puck drop will be at 8 o'clock, heard right here on these airwaves. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call, and I'll have pregame for you starting at 7 o'clock. You know, on Tuesdays at this time, we talk with Predators GM David Poile, and he is on the line with us. David, good morning. How you doing?
I am good. I am up in Calgary, a little bit colder than Nashville, I suspect. Last year we were a little, I don't say spoiled, but because of the condensed season and playing in only in one division, this is the first time we've been up to Canada for the last year and a half. And, you know, playing a trip yesterday was over 4 hours, so just something a little bit new and different than what we did last year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it was interesting. I'm glad you brought that up, because Saturday, after the nice win over the Islanders, Alex Carrier came up to the Patron Platinum Club with me in postgame, and we were just talking about, and there's fans, you know, in there watching, and he was just talking about how the atmosphere was so great and how much it means to the players. And I also brought up going out on the road, and he's like, you know, I was like, you're going to get to really now take in what it means to be playing in the NHL on a permanent, you know, on a full-time basis, because – you know, last year wasn't the same as this year, and he was talking about how they couldn't eat together. And that does make a difference. I know for a lot of people out there listening, you're like, what's the big deal? But really, it is a big deal, isn't it?
I think absolutely. And for a young player like Carrier, who got to play in the second half of last season, his first real stint in the National Hockey League, he only got to play against seven different teams.
Yeah.
So, again, just, if you will, all the different styles of teams, the travel. I mean, in this, we're on a six-game road trip. Starting tonight, we play three games in four nights with you know, a fair bit of travel. So it's all a little bit different. But the good news is that, you know, for example, last night, you know, we get in here and, you know, all the players, you know, went out to dinner together, which is just what you spoke about. It's just a something that last year we couldn't do. Everything was done in the hotel, and it was like you know, Groundhog Day all over again. Every day was approximately the same. So I think this is great. And, you know, we play tonight, fly up to Edmonton after the game, play there, and then we go out to Vancouver, and that'll be a, you know, a day off for the players out there, and hopefully have some decent weather. It's a beautiful place, and, you know, once again, a little bit more team bonding. So you know, with a young team, with a team that's made a, you know, few changes, I think this is really a good opportunity for guys to, you know, to get to know each other a little bit better.
At some point, David, you're going to say, Darren, I think I've said all there is to say about him. Like, and I get it. At some point, we're going to reach that, but until we get there, David, Tanner Jeannot just continues. It's amazing. I mean, two more goals again on Saturday. Four goals through eight games, had five goals last year and 15 games in the regular season. This guy continues to impress. I mean, at this point, I keep asking the question, what does he not do? Like, what am I missing? What does he not bring to the table? How do you answer that?
I answer it by saying it's a real good story for a young kid that was kind of the underdog, never got drafted, had to play an overage year in junior hockey. It's just a great story for him, and it's turned out to be a really good story for the Predators. I mean, you know, he's strong as an ox. He's got good speed. He's very physical. I think he's an intimidating type of player. And the big bonus here is that he's got some hands, and he's been scoring on a regular basis, going back to last year, pretty close to as much as anybody. So it's a fantastic story. It's what we needed. It's, you know, we talked about secondary scoring, more offense for our team, and here we're getting it from our third or fourth line, if you will, this identity line that we put together to be more of a physical line. They've now scored, you know, an even strength, probably as many goals as our first or second line has scored. So It's fantastic, and I feel really good about Tanner as a person. He seems to do all the right things in his preparation. I actually see him as a, you know, future leader with our team. So His arrow was clearly pointing in the right direction. That's straight up.
You know, the last couple of years we've talked about the power play, and most of it was not a flattering conversation. I think coming into the game Saturday, Predators were ranked third. You guys were ranked third in the league with the man advantage. Five power play goals in three games. What, two in Winnipeg, two in Minnesota, and then another one Tuesday night in the win over San Jose. There wasn't a power play goal on Saturday, but it continues. And by the way, it looks different. And so with that being said, it looks different and it's having success. What's really working when it comes to that? Because it's been a while since we've talked about a successful power play. Why is it working so well in your opinion?
Lots of meetings individually, lots of work basically every day at practice. Penalty killing and power play is a big part of practice, maybe more so than ever before. Some adjustments in terms of what we do on the power play, but certainly some adjustments in terms of thinking of the players that are on the power play. I think it's a quicker power play in terms of not only skating, but probably more importantly, the puck movement, which seems to me, if I was to put one key to it, that would be it. And again, it's so important. It's been an Achilles heel for Predators the last few years. And again, as we start the season, and you asked me, like, what were things you're concerned with? I mean, that would have been one of them. And, you know, that, of course, gets into your scoring. And, you know, we still need more scoring than we're getting, you know, right now. But if you can, you know, get a couple of goals 5-on-5 every game and you can get one goal, if you will, in the power play, I mean, that could be a formula for winning hockey. So congrats to our players and to our coaches, Dan Lambert, working on the power play. It's been a tireless situation to try to get better and get, you know, get more production on the power play. And the good news is that we've got, I would say, our veteran power play, and then we have a young power play that features Tomasino and Tolvanen and Tommy Novak. So, you know, that's been looking pretty good also. So it's a huge improvement for our team, something that was much needed.
Borowiecki and Benning have been playing the last three games as that third D pairing. Harper and Myers played in the game in Winnipeg. That was the last time they were out there. So it seems like you guys are rolling with Borowiecki and Benning. What have you seen out of them that you like more right now than Harper and Myers, or is it just matchups?
I think it's early in the year, first of all. I think it's important that right now that we have eight defensemen. I see that as an area that we're still going to have rotation in. As you begin referring to this road trip, three games and four nights, I would think that there's a good chance that everybody, all eight guys would play in at least one of those games. But right now they've got the seat, if you will, on the bus. They played really well in the last three games where they've been used. Again, knock on wood, no, I think maybe one goal against, playing again very physical game, which you know, helps, you know, set up the game for other players. So it's been great. But I know, you know, Harper and Myers, they're going to get back in there. It's good to have a little bit of depth, and you know, knock on wood too, we're healthy right now. Last year, if you remember, we had so many different injuries. We were using all sorts of different guys, and I would suspect over an 82-game schedule that this will work its way out. But the good news is Borowiecki, who was out a lot of last year with injuries, you know, has gotten back in the lineup and is in a regular position. And I don't think you know, he or Benning want to come out. So this is great. This is the depth that you're looking for. This is the competition that you're looking for. But I think at the end of the day, everybody's going to get a chance to play. But good on them right now. They played very well for us.
Predators General Manager David Poile is here with us on Darren Donick and Chase for his weekly visit. Matt Duchene, to me, David, has a different confidence about him that I don't think we've seen since he's been in Nashville. He's second on the team in shots. He's got the two goals, the 5 points, but he's creating plays even if he's not showing up on the stat sheet. I'm seeing something different out of him. What about you?
Definitely. I think his determination, his persistence, his consistency is way better this year. Again, talked about a lot, you know, with everybody. Some of our better players, higher paid players, if you will, more offensive players, probably had somewhat of off seasons last season, and not that different than the power play. A lot of conversations, a lot of adjustments that the players have made and the coaches have made with the players and systems and what have you. And I think there's been some consistency of Duchesne and Johansson and Forsberg playing a lot together, though they changed up the lines the other day, and it seemed like maybe something like that would have affected one of those players last year. This year, they understood why the change was made, and I think you know, it's even made them more resilient. So, good on Matt Duchesne specifically. Again, he's a guy that still has not had what I call a lot of puck luck this year. He's been around it a couple of posts and what have you. I'm just looking for him to have one of those breakout games where he gets like a hat trick and it just carries from there. But again, really very happy with his play this year and how determined he is. Another area that he does is he's probably drawn the most penalties on our team, again, by him driving to the net, by some of his speed and some of his moves. So really like the way Matt's playing this year.
We've talked a lot about UC Saros, of course, and his success early on, but you had signed David Rittich to be his backup. Unfortunately, hadn't gotten to see him yet because he was on the COVID list. I know he's been practicing. Coach Hines said it maybe needed a little while longer, but how close do you think Rittich is to potentially being available, even though you got to feel pretty good and Connor Ingram and his one outing that he had?
Well, Rittich is over the COVID, and he just needs, as John said, some practice times. And you know, he got a couple of practices last week. He practiced yesterday's the morning skate as we speak. And, you know, I could see maybe later in the week that he could actually sort of get into action or be ready to back up as long as he stays healthy and gets a couple of practices under his belt. So, you know, we're going to have to make a determination on goaltending pretty soon.
It was announced on Saturday that Terry Crisp was going to be retiring at the end of the season from his broadcast role. He's been a day one guy, obviously has meant so much to this organization and helping build the sport in this market. But for you, and you know, knowing what he accomplished as a head coach, having him here, you know, when you hired Barry Trotz, who had not coached in the NHL, how valuable was it having Crispy around just to kind of be somebody to talk to if either one of you needed advice?
It's been awesome, as you said, since day one. I mean, Crispy is a special guy. I mean, who doesn't want to hang out with Crispy? Who doesn't want to hear all of his stories and all the experience that he's had? I mean, it's a lot of fun to be with. Obviously, done a huge, huge amount in terms of selling hockey here in Nashville over the years. I mean, you think of Predators. I mean, you think of Terry Crisp right away. Also, and tonight you're going to have some recognition for Terry. He's got all of his family here in Calgary, and again, obviously, very much appreciated and remembered here in Calgary. So it's going to be a special night for all the Crisps here in Calgary tonight. And I know everybody he's just a great, great guy and a ton of experience. And I think you know, for someone like Barry Trotz, when we first started, I mean, that probably was a little bit of a shoulder to lean on in terms of, you know, situations that Terry had been through and, you know, Barry was experiencing for the first time. So, again, I don't know, nothing but the best for the Crisps and for Terry and Sheila. They've been fantastic for our franchise.
So they know him in Calgary?
He's a big deal.
he's a big deal tonight. We'll see how it goes here, but he's very, very popular. He's popular wherever he goes.
And, no doubt about that.
What a great personality.
In all seriousness, as we wrap this up, David, this Calgary team is off to an incredible start, right? This is a really good Flames team.
In all seriousness, Darren, we're playing Calgary and Edmonton, who have two of the three best records in the National Hockey League.
Yep.
I watched Edmonton play last night against Seattle, and their power play is running at just under 50%. I mean, oh my gosh! I mean, You talk about special players and McDavid and Draisaitl, they look fantastic. And in Calgary, they've got some guys that have really performed well in scoring, scoring a lot of goals. And their goaltender, I think Markstrom was player of the week. I mean, if he keeps it up, he could be player of the month soon. He just played, you know, fantastic. He's probably been the best goaltender in the league right now. So these next two games will be a huge watermark in terms of where the Predators are against the, I guess you'd say, the best teams in the National Hockey League right now.
No doubt about it. Hey, thanks for the visit. As always, go collect some more wins on this road trip. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, that is David Poile, Predators General Manager, and he joins us every Tuesday at 11:15. So don't forget, tonight in Calgary to take on the Flames. They've won six straight, and they have been playing really well.
Oh, no doubt.
Really well.
But if you're, and he kind of alluded to it there, but if you're David Poile, if you're John Hines, these next two games, I mean, that's the measuring stick. See where you're at, you know, with the way Calgary and Edmonton have played. And I think, you know, Calgary more so, we've seen Calgary have those hot starts in the past and then they kind of drop off. But this team looks pretty legit in the early going.
Should someone have to wear like a bull's head if they win these two games? What was it? What did Pierre LaViolette do? Remember, it was this swing. What was it that he wore? I thought it was like a bull.
You're right.
Wasn't it like a bull? Remember, and it was this swing. It was Calgary and Edmonton. And after they beat Edmonton is when he went out in the press conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
And wore the bull's head.
Yeah.
Is that right? I'm almost positive. But I can't remember exactly what he had to wear. Remember, it was very awkward because nobody knew what was going on. It's like,
It was a bull's head.
Like, what? That's right. What is the Predators coach doing? What's happening here? Why is he doing the press conference in this getup? So, yeah, it was interesting. All right, good stuff from David Poile. We'll come back. More on the other side as you listen to the DDC. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, don't forget to join Stars this year's Cherish the Night Unplugged event. That's going to be tomorrow night at Marathon Music Works. This year's lineup, Gordon Kennedy, Charles Esten, Danny Flowers. Special presentation of the Troy Gentry Compassion Award to the Young Fables. To learn more and to register, go to starsnashville.org. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase here on this Tuesday, we have had a loaded show. JP Arancibia was in studio with us the first hour. You just heard David Poile from Calgary. Now William Donick from Calgary. Willie, what's up?
Hello, gentlemen.
So,
how's it going?
Put some help us out with this because, you know, memory as we get older gets a little foggier, and I couldn't remember exactly. But I think I'm right. I'm pretty sure I am. So this was the trip, was it not? This two-day trip right here, Calgary and Edmonton. Is this not when Pierre LaViolette wore the mask, the bull's? Was it a bull's head?
Yes.
Okay. So I was right. Okay, a bull's head, and it was after the Edmonton game when he did it, right, in the presser? Was this not the trip, Calgary-Edmonton?
Yes, it was a Calgary-Edmonton. And they had to win both games.
Correct.
For the bet to go. So, and I can't remember the name of the bull. Somebody will have to help us out on that one. I'm sure somebody listening can remember. It was this undefeated legend of a bull that dominated everybody.
Oh, that's right.
What was the name of the bull that Pierre LaViolette put the bullhead on? Do you guys remember the name of the bull? I'm quizzing Lindsay Rowley and Hal Gill. We're strolling over to the rink right now. It's a very pretty day.
Hi, Lindsay. Hi, Scalzi.
So, but they had to win both games. They did. And so Pierre LaViolette did the post-game press conference with the bullhead on.
What was the name of that bull? See, if I would have remembered that part of it, I knew then I was right about the bull's head. I wasn't even positive if it was a bull's head, but I felt pretty good about it. You're right, though. It did have a name. It was a dominant bull. Anyway, so nothing like that is happening to your knowledge?
As far as we know. But when we get to the rink, you never know. But I will tell you this, that these first two games of this road trip, and this is going to be a stretch of 10 games in which 9 are on the road. It starts tonight. But you start with the Flames, who've won 6 in a row, and then you've got the Oilers tomorrow, who are 7-1 on the season. So this is a tough back-to-back to get this thing started.
The Flames are off to quite the start, huh? As you said, 6-1-1, 13 points, which, you know, their next two opponents, they sit atop the Western Conference in Edmonton and Calgary.
And I'll take it one step further. The Flames are 6-1-1. They've won the last six, and they have not trailed in any of those six games. So they're just ripping through everybody.
The good news is the Predators have won three in a row. They've looked pretty good. We just had a nice, good conversation with David Poile. What have you seen out of them? They didn't get the start they were looking for, but certainly they've turned things around here in their last three games.
Yeah, the thing that jumps out to me is John Hines has been able to keep going in the direction that he wanted to in terms of how they want to play. Most of the games, the only exception really so far was Winnipeg, when they got sort of blown out of the water. They were sort of outgunned by a run-and-gun team in the Jets. But most of the other games, Darren, have been really tight games, fairly low scoring. The Predators are trying to win the games 3-2. And most of the time, they're able to create a game like that. So then it comes down to getting the big saves. They feel confident in their goaltending. And can they get just enough offense? In the last three games, they have. And that's going to be the question going forward here is, can they continue to get offense?
I just got a text on my text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Yeah, mine is sponsored too. Bushwhacker? Does that sound right?
Bushwhacker. The Bushwhacker. That's the ball.
That's it?
Yes.
Okay. Evidently,
he says that's always also a very dangerous drink.
Very dangerous drink, and that's what confused me. I'm like, no, Bushwhacker, that's a drink. That's one you that ends poorly. It always ends poorly. That drink.
Well, it doesn't always end poorly.
Well, you know, most of the time it ends poorly.
Hangover and a brain freeze.
I was told 42-0 was his record. Not bad. Not bad.
Well, we are in the land of the Stampede here, so the Bushwhacker probably did roam these parts at some point.
So, Willie, I got a question. Are you three actually just walking to the rink, or are you guarding Crispy as his security detail because with him being back in Calgary, he just needs a little extra protection?
Well, they are honoring Crispy tonight. It's going to be pretty awesome. From time to time, the whole Crisp clan will come in and invade the morning skate, all the grandkids. And it's quite exciting. It is always really great to see the whole family. But I think tonight's going to be extra special with Crispy announcing this will be his last season in the broadcast booth on the desk with Lindsay. But, he's always been super appreciated up here. His daughter Kaylee lives up here. His son Tony has lived here for a long time. So a lot of the grandkids come on in, and it's always... They have free run of the rink. That's what's always funny to me. They're not usually checking security when those guys are running around.
Have you liked the combination? So John Hines first slid back Duchesne, then he slid back Forsberg. Did you like that second line of Granlund, Forsberg, and Duchesne Saturday against the Islanders?
I think that's been a really effective line for them the last two games. If you take a look, they're trying to spread out some of the skill and move Ryan Johansson to a different line. And that has not quite taken shape yet, although I think it's got potential to. But I think Granlund, Forsberg, and Duchesne, if you look back historically, they've played pretty well together in the past. But that line is doing well. And then the other line, of course, is carrying them right now, is Sissons, Janot, and Trennan. Those three have been absolutely outstanding. So it's really those two lines driving the bus.
Yeah, you're right. That they did. John Hines did change that in the San Jose game. That's right. So it's been the last two games. Yeah, and you're right. The third line just continues to do it. And as I brought up with Skillsy Saturday, Willie, I mean, how long? I mean, look, if the third line keeps playing like this, I mean, they're not going to be the third line, right? I mean, like eventually you're going to have to move them up if you keep getting this type of production.
Yeah, I think I heard you guys talking about that, and Mace and I still, in our mind, we want to call them the fourth line, but they're anything but a fourth line. So, if you look, Trennan and Janot have joined Colton Sissons on the penalty kill, and you got to wonder if Tanner Janot keeps scoring the way he is, why not put him on the power play a little bit, throw him in front of the net, see what happens. I think that could happen down the road. But you're right. I would not call these guys a fourth line. I think for sure you would say they're a third line. But the way, you know, the effectiveness, they're the second most effective line. There's no question.
Willie D checking in from Calgary. So you're heading to skate. That's what's about to take place.
Who got arrested?
We're heading to the skate. Yeah, no, we're trying to dodge bob and weave through the traffic and all the sirens here. But yeah, heading to the Saddle Dome, one of the older buildings in the NHL. It was the host, the site of the 88 Winter Olympics. So that gives you an idea how old it is. And they've been really working hard to try to get a new arena built in the city, because they've seen their rival Edmonton built this beautiful new place that we're going to see tomorrow. And it's been going on for a long time, and the pandemic certainly put that on hold for a while. But I love this building. It's a real unique place to watch a game, and the Flames are playing great.
How do you think that John Hines is going to handle the goaltending situation tonight and tomorrow with back-to-backs? I asked David Poile about David Rittich. He's practiced some. I know he's still, I guess, technically on the COVID list, but has been practicing and could be available later in the week. But could you see Saros doing both, or do they go back to Connor Ingram?
It's a good question. It's a real good question. I think we might find out more about that today. But with UC Saros, looking ahead, you got a lot of games this week. The way Connor Ingram played, this is just my feeling. You know, it's a lot to ask of this kid to go in there and play against Connor McDavid and that crew. But, you know, you got to give UC Saros a little bit of rest somewhere in there. So I think it's a really good chance that you see Ingram tomorrow. But it might depend on what type of game we see tonight.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And as I said to Darren before we brought you on, I mean, these two games are – that's the measuring stick to see where you're at, you know, because of the way Calgary and Edmonton has played. Do you expect a physical game tonight? I feel like every time the Preds and Calgary face each other, no matter what era you're in, it always gets a little chippy.
I think traditionally that's definitely true. We can have those visions of Thomas Vokoun skating all the way down to the other end of the ice and fighting Jerome Iginla.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, what's interesting about that is Calgary has brought back the coach who was on the bench during those days, and that's Daryl Sutter. And you know Daryl Sutter is going to bring the physical aspect of the game. He brought in Eric Goodbranson, a former Predator, big, strong guy. He brought in Trevor Lewis, a guy that was on his bench for the Stanley Cups in L.A. for a long, long time. They've got Milan Lucic, who's played really, really well. So they've got the toughness in there for sure. So it's the next test as the Predators go around the league for the really first time, you know, with places like Calgary outside of the teams they played last year with this group, the Herd, trying to establish that physical edge. It's really interesting. I still see a lot of teams that have no idea what they're getting into with Janot and Trenin.
All right, Willie, before we let you go, because I know you got to go to skate, I'm just telling Coach Willie this. He's not going to be happy with me, but the Atlanta Braves are going to win the World Series tonight. I'm just telling you that.
And JP, Aaron Sebia disagreed with him.
Yeah, JP says the Braves win in seven, but I think it's done in six.
Chase started the show off by guaranteeing it. And so he said, bet the house.
I said, this is what I know. Yeah. I didn't use those words.
But then I said, you guarantee it? And he said, yes. And then I said, is this a gift for the people to go put their mortgage, their car note, everything they've got, their savings on it? And he said, yes.
Firstborn.
So Chase is sticking with it. He says, mortgage the house payment on the Braves tonight. JP disagrees.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to do that, but I do think, and John Smoltz a lot on the broadcast, that when the Braves held back, they will have, I think, a guy that give you six good innings tonight on the mound in Max Fried, and then they've got the weapons lined up. They've got Matzik and those guys ready to come in and close it out. I think I really like what their pitching is compared to the Astros. They got two games to win one. So I don't know if they do look the Braves' chances of winning one here and taking it home.
Okay. Willie, have fun tonight in Calgary and
all
Edmonton.
Right. We will greet you guys from the rafters. You know how they have that thing dangling over the top So we might have some fun pictures. We'll get Skillsy to walk out on the on the catwalk again. He always loves that.
Okay, I do not. So have him do it. Yeah, good stuff. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Predators in Calgary to take on the Flames tonight. And, yeah, I don't want to walk on the catwalk.
Yeah, I'm good.
Remember Winnipeg? That was scary enough where we were.
I was looking.
Basically, you lean over and it's like, you know, if you fall out of here, like,
that's ball game.
See you later.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing.
Well, where my
nice life.
Where my seats were Sunday night in Atlanta, I was a couple rows behind, but right there by the rail and the third deck. And I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, I'm glad I'm not on that first row because that'd be a little trippy because it's like glass, like they make it look real nice. And I'm just like, that's a little trippy.
Well, you know, unfortunately, people do fall over railings at
people
baseball
have,
games.
And unfortunately, I think it happened this year at Truist Park.
So. I know.
Yeah, so it.
It did.
Yeah, so it just, I'm not a heights person.
No,
People have always asked me, like, why is that? And I'm like, I think it's because I'm so tall, so it's just it's a long way down. You know, I'm always scared of falling.
Well, how do you explain why you're scared? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm the same way. I mean, I get – if I just look up at something really tall, I get a weird feeling. I mean, how do you stop that? I don't know.
You don't.
Yeah, you don't.
I think you just live with it. I think you just live with it.
Are you guys like me that, like, even if you were in a tall building, completely secured, like, there's the chance of you falling over is very slim. Still get really anxious just by, like, looking at all the space down below you.
Yes.
Kills me.
Absolutely. Just thinking about that visual right now, I get a weird feeling.
When I was at the top of the Eiffel Tower once when I was, like, 18 and had a panic attack. I was like, nope, we're going back down. I cannot do it. And I'm completely secure. The chance of you falling out is insanely slim. The millisecond I thought I felt something move, I'm like, we're going back down.
What is it in Toronto? Is it the CN Tower? Right? Is that what it's called? The one next to the Sky Dome? They have up at the top.
Yeah.
They have an area. It's just an area with a glass floor. Now, I suspect if you put that in there and you know people, you're inviting people to walk across. It's at that point, I think you're 1,200 feet up in the air. It was like, just do it. I wanted to, and I tried, and I eventually did it, but I didn't do it because I really didn't look down. I just kind of walked across it, and it took a lot to get me to even get to that point. But I, you know, they built it there, so you would think like it's okay, like nothing's gonna happen. But I just couldn't do it.
Oh yeah, the rationale of it being completely safe and foolproof still is not enough to convince me to not freak out a little bit. Like, my palms will get sweaty.
People were sitting on it. I'm like, no, that's a no.
No, ooh, no, no, no.
1,200 feet looking straight down. No, that's I can't do it.
We have several Titans roster moves that have just come out, and one is a little bit surprising.
Okay.
So they have made it official. They have signed Adrian Peterson to the practice squad. They have also signed running back Dante Foreman to the practice squad, who has been with the Titans before. In doing so, they've signed defensive back Nate Brooks and defensive lineman Niall Scott to the practice squad. They released veteran linebacker Avery Williamson from the active roster. Here's the surprise. They have waived running back Mekhi Sargent from the practice squad.
Wow.
Also defensive lineman Karen Reed and defensive lineman Eli Inku from the practice squad.
Wow. Okay. So Mekhi Sargent waived.
I don't get that, but I know Foreman, you know, we remember Foreman being here a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And again, anybody behind Derrick Henry, small sample size, but they seemed to like what he could do. So he's familiar with everything. So I guess maybe that's one reason they looked at that.
Come back. We'll head east. We'll head to Knoxville. We'll bring in Vince Ferrara from the Sports Animal there in Knoxville. We'll talk a little bit about the Vols to get things rolling here for the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save